Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We begin with the tafsir of ayahs 3 and 4. Maliki yawm al-deen. There is a day of reward and recompense, or getting compensation or paid. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quiet, because He will establish the day when everyone will be rewarded with what they did in this world. And that day, there will be no other master, and He will be the only master. Why does it say Maliki yawm al-deen? What does it mean, master of the day of judgment? Rather, the true master, owner, is Allah alone, even today. But today, from the bounty of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made humans masters or owners for a temporary and limited time. As we say, we are owners of our house, owners of our car. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true master and has given us temporary ownership, when the day comes, that will be taken away. So that day, mankind will not even possess clothes on their bodies. On that day, all mankind will be bare naked, because we'll not even possess any article of clothing. So what are we owners of today? Houses, land. But that day, not a single piece or speck of clothing that a person owns. What is in their hands? What do they have from a bank account? Where are the treasures, jewels that they had? Servants, helpers, no one there they claimed authority over. What about our bodies? Man thinks he is the owner over his body. That day, he's not even an owner of his own body. Rather, the body will testify against itself. So even today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner and has authority over ourselves. But today, He has given freedom to use these faculties, use our bodies as we will. We use our hands for whatever we want to use them for. We use these faculties of hearing, seeing, wherever we want to. And the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the true master, and this even the skin will speak and testify against a person. The feet and hands will testify. They will speak with truth. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell each person what he did. And if the person denies, the body parts will testify. Because that day, the master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The mouth will be sealed and the body parts will testify against them. When the mouth is opened, it will say, "Why did you testify against me? I was only lying to save you." The body parts will say, "Our master gave us ability to speak. So today we speak." So that day, mankind doesn't even have ownership of anything, not even his body. All ownership of dunya will end. That day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ. Who is the master today? No response will come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. The one who is alone, the master, the one who is dominant, the one who prevails, who overcomes, one who is victorious. That means whoever is arrogant and proud, due to having ownership of anything, or positions, or power, and has heads raised up and proud. Remember, one day, all ownership will end. And this ownership and authority will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He will have total authority. What is Allah reminding us about? Today we use powerful contacts or connections and bribery. There, no one will be able to help and escape. Rather, everything will be in the hands of Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, He is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, and His mercy exceeds like waves of the ocean, and His mercy is continuous and ever-present. But remember, He is Maliki Yawm al-Deen, Master of the Day of Judgment. This life mankind is spending shouldn't think that this life is everything, and our striving be only for here, our living and dying only for this world alone. The message Surah Fatiha gives us that one day all ownership will be taken away from you. Life will seem surreal. We will come to Allah empty-handed and standing in front of Him, our Rabb, the Creator. That day will be a day of recompense. recompense for all the things we did in this world. That day, justice will prevail. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, then He will also do justice. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, أَفَنَجْعَلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ Shall we make one submitting like the ones who are criminals? Nay, the ones obedient and submitting will be given a good reward, and those who are criminals, for them will be punishment. Rather, if Allah makes the oppressor and oppressed, one who does injustices and one who fulfills all rights and one pious and one who is evil, one God-fearing and pious, and one criminal, as they are the same, so they all have the same ending, and there is no recompense, then that means there is no justice. Even in the courts of this world, a good citizen and a robber are not treated equally, nor considered the same, nor both honored the same way. If the court of this world doesn't hold everyone the same, how can you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one most just, and will do injustice and reward everyone the same? Whoever has false ideas that Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim and we can do whatever we want and He will just overlook and forgive. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَبَثًا Do you think we made you without any purpose? So you all become the same and you can do whatever you want and will not be asked about it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ And you will not come back to us? Will you not be made to stand? There should be one day for recompense. Ask the oppressed if there should be a day to get justice. One who spends his or her entire life in obedience of Allah, no matter how much loss they incur due to it, and have to hear all the negative things, strives to earn halal, even if it means getting by with minimum or less. But still does not break the command of Allah. Ask them, should there be a day of reward or recompense? Only those who oppress and do injustice and are disobedient to commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, there will be no day of recompense. Only they are the ones who say, this life is everything and nothing after it. They say to themselves, enjoy yourself. You will not get this life again. And when that day comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the response. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبِثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا Which means, when they see that day, they will say, we stayed only a part of a day or part of a night, not more than that. Life of the dunya will seem like a few hours. And you are working so hard for some hours and for a life that will end? No worries for the hereafter? For a life that will never end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so great. But remember, if you take the wrong advantage of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable. And there, no relation or connection will help anyone. Don't get lost in the glitter of this dunya and forget about this matter that your last stage is standing in front of Allah and have to give account for all that we did. One day will come and its length will be 50,000 years. In a hadith, it is mentioned Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, O Rasulullah, it is mentioned in the Quran that this day will be 50,000 years. So how long will this day be? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, this day will be made so easy for a believer and will be made for as much time as needed to pray farz salah, or even less. But for a disbeliever, and the one who does not obey will be made as long as 50,000 years. So a person should never become heedless from grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor take it lightly. Another thing to note is that the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cannot be said for anyone else in this world. No one can have mercy like the Ar-Rahman. His mercy is extreme. And at all times, we cannot give a person that name. It's a special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if one names their son Abdul Rahman, cannot say Rahman alone. Otherwise, we'll be doing shirk. must be called Abdul Rahman. We can use the word Rahim for name, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being Ra'uf ar-Rahim, hence can be used. But name ar-Rahman cannot be used alone. In these first three ayahs of the Surah Al-Fatiha, we learn the foundations of Aqidah. In the first ayah, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is sustaining and managing the universe. He is Rabbul Alameen. So all gratitude and praise is for Him alone. Another point is about Risalah, which is prophethood. As He is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, His biggest blessing upon mankind is that He gave mankind guidance by way of prophets. He sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all other prophets as a mercy from Him. This is the descending of Allah's mercy in form of prophets. And Malik Yawmiddin helps us understand and correct the aqidah or belief in akhirah. The prophets came and told us what was right and wrong, what was halal and haram. Some will believe in them and some will deny them. So whoever the prophet followed should have a recompense or reward, which is good, and whoever denies will be punished. So he is the master of the day of recompense. So far we have covered three aqidahs or beliefs. This is the day deeds of every human will be accounted and rewarded. This is a beautiful surah and a very comprehensive surah. First complete surah that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before this surah was revealed, only ayat or portions of surahs were revealed, but not complete surahs. As the first revelation, which begins with Iqra, it was revealed first, but only first five ayahs of the surah were revealed. Then Surah Qalam or Noon, the seven ayahs were revealed from that surah. Then seven ayahs of Surah Muzammil. And then five ayahs of Surah Mudathir. Then all the ayahs of Surah Al-Fatiha were revealed together. So this was the first complete surah to be revealed. In some places, it is said to be revealed in Makkah, and other places mentioned as being revealed in Medina. This surah was revealed twice, as when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah, was revealed, and then after Hijrah or migration, revealed again. How do we determine if surahs are Makki or Madani? All surahs that were revealed prior to the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah to Medina are called Makki surahs. And all surahs or ayat revealed after his migration, whether he was in Hudaybiyah or came to Makkah for Hajj, they are called Madani surahs. As we have divided the surah in three parts, in the first part we learn about the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes, and learn about the relation of Allah and his slaves. And now we will learn about Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. As we learned previously, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided this surah in two parts. First three ayahs are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the last three ayahs are for his slaves. Ayah 4, 5 and 7 are for his slaves. In ayah 4, in the middle, Iyyaka na'budu, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Iyyaka nasta'in is for his slaves. Iyyaka na'budu and Iyyaka nasta'in is a declaration as when one makes when taking an oath or declares. What does Iyyaka na'budu mean? It could have been said na'buduka, which means we worship you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, say Iyyaka na'budu, which means we only worship you. As when a person writes a letter and in the end says, truly yours only, that means no one else's. When one says that, he takes an oath to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As one takes an oath, which is a vow, a pledge or promise, to fulfill their pledge or promise. So we pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be dutiful to Him alone. And this is not a small matter when we take this oath. Now we will look at na'budu. What is ibadah? Its dictionary meaning is due to extreme reverence or respect and love for someone, showing extreme humility and faithfulness. How many components of ibadah? 2. Extreme love and extreme humility. We can see how we love others as we love our children, but there is no humility in it. Or we can show humility or reverence to someone, but do not have love for them. For example, when you meet your boss or someone very important and famous, you may have humility towards them, but do not necessarily have extreme love for them. But in ibadah, two things are a must: a lot of love and a lot of humility and reverence. Today we are learning the meaning of ibadah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create jinn and mankind except that they worship Him. So our purpose for coming into this dunya, which is this world we are living in, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We should all ask ourselves, do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most? Everyone should ask themselves, and not love anyone else at that level. And do we have extreme humility and reverence for Him and not anyone else? This is a very important ayah because ulama say that the secret of this surah is in this ayah, and the complete summary or conclusion of the entire Quran is in Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. If we look at the level of humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would we have the same amount if we had an opportunity to meet with a governor? No ibadah without this humility. Do we have extreme love for Him? Because we say every day, O Allah, alone we worship You on our salahs. This means that we don't love anyone else this much. And we don't have humility or reverence to anyone else. This is a big declaration. In this we also nullify and reject shirk. Because when we say, my worship is for You alone and not for anyone else. And if we look at the second meaning of abd, what is abd? What does it mean? We name our kids Abdurrahman, Abdullah. This is okay. But we cannot say Abdul Rasul or Abdul so-and-so, but can only be Abdul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can only be His slaves. Because in Salah we declare, O Allah, we only worship You. So you take an oath and pledge and say, I give my freedom to You. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Sometimes His slaves say such abominous things against Him, and yet He doesn't grasp them. While if He wills, He can break the sky in one moment. If you have a servant or helper, do you give them something to do or let them sit on the sofa all day? Also, if you look at the concept of slavery, why were they kept? So they can do work, and they were made to do very hard work, very laborious tasks. But even as servants, they don't get to sit around. So when we say we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we wait for Him to give us commands we can follow. Since we are His slaves, our job is to follow the commands of our master. Sadly, following the commands of Allah is considered unimportant. Most people don't even want to know what our master has commanded. The entire Quran tells us what our master has commanded. While we stand in prayer reciting إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ so many times in the day, saying, I am Your slave, my life, my day and night is in Your slavery or in Your servitude. Most people think they are not slaves of anyone and can do whatever they will. And the thinking is, we pray Salah, what does Allah have to do in our daily affairs? We discussed this in last class when we learned the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which means we give up our freedom and now we are only in servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No master in dunya where a person will say, I want to be your slave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a master that the person says, I want to be your slave, subhanallah, and only want to worship You alone. And as we learned earlier, slave is 24/7 in happiness, in sadness, because when one says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, then they give up their own will and do not question His commands. And one becomes slave of Allah alone, becomes free from all other slaveries and slaveries of anyone else, and does not need to listen to will of anyone else, not people, nor our misleading desires, nor the society, nor culture or trends. As Ilama Iqbal says in his poetry, you consider one sajda difficult, while it saves you from 1,000 sajdas or prostrations. One who is enslaved to all others and tries to please everyone, such as husband, society, kids, or what people say, trying to just please everyone, no one will be pleased with you. In the end, you will be crying because they are still not pleased with you after doing so much for them. So remind yourself always that I am only the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say this in salah, are we speaking the truth? People say acting on commands of Allah is so difficult. So basically, it means we don't want to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is opposite of the definition of a slave. Slave cannot say, I will go to work somewhere else, or you cannot tell me what to do. Even as an employee who says that to his boss, you will get fired, even though he's just a boss and not your master.